Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Hello and welcome to Saffron Honey Chai. And today we're a little bummed. Now, this weekend, as of this recording, about August 2nd, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced that due to the funding cuts, that we will no longer have PBS or NPR. And it's kind of a dark day, you know? Operations will fully shut down somewhere in September. But I don't know, as like a PBS kid, like this one really stings. Growing up in like the 90s, you know, of course, not everyone had cable. Not everyone even had high-speed internet. Internet was sort of a luxury still. So just having PBS, especially when I was very, very little, It did so much for me because I always had something valuable to watch, even if it wasn't cartoons. Like, of course, I loved my little morning session that they had. And then I loved PBS Kids in the afternoon after I got home from school. But even when I was very young and I had the TV to myself when my grandma wasn't watching the news or her stories, I still would watch Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, the Learn to Speak English. I don't know why I was watching that. I just didn't want to be bored. Oh my God. Yeah, I would watch all these interesting shows that they had. And even though I didn't find them all interesting, I just didn't want to be bored. I learned so much. I got such an expansive vocabulary alone as a public school child from watching PBS. PBS was my entire childhood. And you don't really notice it until later. Because there were times when we did have cable when I was growing up. And so, you know, it folds in with the times where I was like, oh yeah, I can watch Sailor Moon in the afternoon instead of having to watch Cyber Chase. Getting to watch Cyber Chase, rather. And now, like, I'm worried about the kids of the future because I always had something to rely on, more or less. I always had access to quality children's education. I was always learning something or just being inspired to check new stuff out. Like, one of my favorite PBS shows was In Between the Lions, and it was about a library. And the little lions were going around checking out books and stuff and learning about the environment and doing like puzzle games and stuff. And I really enjoyed that as a library kid because whenever I had some free time, I was like, okay, mommy, take me to that library. I saw this on In Between the Lions. I want to see if they have it at the library. And I would go, and usually the library didn't have it. And I didn't know about ILLs, and neither did my mom. So we couldn't get it, but I would always have something else. It encouraged a curiosity in me for my local community, for expanding my mind, for trying new things, for doing new things. And right now, We did not really have that for our youth. I can't lie. We don't really have that for our youth. Right now, our young people are a lot of the times, and not necessarily through the fault of their parents. Sometimes the parents just can't do anything. They're getting raised by their phones and whatever person who's on YouTube Shorts or the YouTube Kids side of the app, just telling them, yeah, and sneak it to your mom's purse and take a credit card or something. And it's so sad because in the low tech world, I was so excited for like getting closer and closer to this high tech world. I was like, yes, I want DSL. I want to be on the internet all day. I want this. I want that. But I always had something to go back to. I always had something to go back to rely on, and even to discuss with my peers, because we would discuss like, oh my God, did you see the new author? That was so crazy what DW did. We had, you know, these things that we could go to. And now there's positives and negatives to everything. Everyone has a very wide span of interest that just so happens to align with what people want us to buy. So they want to try different products, do different activities, but it's all based around, oh, wow, I can get a Libubu and do this and do that. But curiosity just is not instilled in us. And I really cherish that PBS instilled that curiosity. And I'm worried a lot about what low-income children will do, what their families will do, because public broadcast is so important. There's a lot of people to this day, maybe it's more affordable, but there's a lot of people who don't actually have reliable internet access, even in our country right now. They don't have it. They have the antenna on a television that they were able to get for a good price or even secondhand. They have whatever is publicly available. And with PBS gone, that's an entire source of information gone for their entire family. No news for the parents and the kids. No educational programming for the children and the kids. Nothing to enrich or elevate them. It's just going to be the regular news and regular TV. And even just like, okay, let's say you watch ABC 7 all day long. There's not a lot of dedicated educational programming on that. There's the news and there are the shows. And maybe sometimes it's documentary. But it's not the same as a show that was designed from the bottom up to be for children based on, okay, what do the colors look like? How are they speaking in this show? Is there anything we need to be aware of if we bring this topic up? Like the level of care that has gone into PBS shows, I don't really think you guys understand. And I especially know, I know for a fact that people who cut the budget don't understand. We're going to talk about Sesame Street real quick. So for Sesame Street, way, way back when, Big Bird used to have an imaginary friend called the Snuffleupagus. Yes, that's right. Snuffleupagus. Snuffy used to be imaginary. So he would always be there. And then when Big Bird tried to bring other people to see him, then Snuffy was gone. And it's like, no, Snuffy's real. I promise he's real. I swear I'm not lying. And they're like, oh, Big Bird, you're so silly. You just talk. You just say whatever. And then there was a high profile case of a child being abused in the media around the time that they were still going through this like little passive background storyline. And the people working on Sesame Street said, well, kids need to know that someone's going to believe them, so they'll tell people. And they came up with an episode where Big Bird told everyone, okay, Snuffy's here. And Snuffy finally appeared for everyone else. And he was like, you guys all thought I lied. How could you do that? And then all the adults and all the other people on Sesame Street were like, oh my God, Big Bird, we're so sorry we didn't believe you. We should have trusted you. And we're so glad that we were able to see it and, you know, acknowledge you. And I understand if you're hurt, we get it. But we should have had a little more trust in you. And that entire through line existed because they not only wanted to make content that educated and entertained children, they wanted to make content that helped children experience the world in a healthy way. Now, of course, we don't know what everyone's home life is like. Someone could have tried to report and then it didn't work out for a number of alternate reasons. But at least here, they wanted to make sure that the children knew. Maybe a lot of people won't believe you, but eventually one day someone will, so that children could come out and express what was occurring with them, share what's happening in their lives. And I know no one else is really doing it like that. I know no one else is really doing it like that. And of course, you know, I'm like a grown woman now, so I'm not watching PBS Kids anymore. But I really also enjoyed like PBS's documentaries and their online services. They had a whole plethora of documentaries online on their paid service. And I don't know what's going to happen to that stuff because I don't know what the copyright is going to allow to go elsewhere. I'm not sure what can be negotiated. I'm not sure what we'll be able to find from there because it's like hundreds of documentaries, literally hundreds. There's so much and so detailed and intricate. So like not even hundreds of hours, probably thousands of hours of content that has to be decided on. And we've seen historically that media can easily be lost if we're relying on copyright in digital media. So now everything that was there, we have to find a physical media. Okay, most people don't have Blu-ray anymore. They have their phone, they have their laptop that doesn't have a CD slot. So now we're in a very precarious position because it used to be public, it used to be public access. And now people are going to have to work really hard to get the level of information they were getting from their television. And not to mention the radio. NPR, a radio is so much cheaper than a television. You could download an app for a radio on a cell phone that you find or get for free on the street secondhand. You know, they have those free cell phone people out there. And you can get quality information and historical facts. And the NPR even had like fun, cool things they were doing with artists. Tiny desk concerts. We're losing tiny desk concerts too. And it's, oh my God, it's so heavy, man. It's heavy to carry in my heart. It's heavy to think about. It's heavy to consider the ramifications of, because I don't know what the future is going to bring. I'm not sure what direction things are about to go in. Because PBS was more than just entertainment. It was education and it was healthy information for the American people. NPR was education and information for the American people. You could very easily get news any time of day. And now we don't have that. Well, we will soon not have that. And there will be a dearth of information available, not to mention all the people who are going to lose their jobs. Now, I know this is kind of a bummer episode, and I'm just talking about, oh, this is so sad. Look at how we've lost so much. But I'm not fully giving up hope, because even though everyone fought really hard, people signed petitions, they got money together. They did a lot to try to stop this from happening. And there were countless hearings and appeals and things that occurred in order to make sure that this wouldn't happen. We wouldn't get to this point. But luckily, the Corporation for Public Broadcast isn't actually the first organization of its kind that has been responsible for providing information to the American people. So this may just be a very terrible long pause to a future return of good educational public access information. I do not know what the next two, three years are going to look like. But I do know that at the end of every show I watched on PBS, they would say it's possible thanks to viewers like you. And at the time, I wasn't donating anything to PBS, so I felt like, oh, I don't know. But now I really do understand. A lot of things are only possible because of us, because we come out and we decide, okay, we're going to figure something out. We're going to make something work. So even though they have announced that they're going to shutter business, we are just going to go insanely hard to make sure that the next time the budget comes up, that we have the opportunity to demand the return of the Corporation for Public Broadcast. Because there's no way thousands of people should lose their jobs in the middle of the worst job crisis in the world and just have to accept that. There's no way we should be content with that. And there's no way we should be content with losing something that's such a valuable resource for all of us. So while no one gave up on this, we must continue our fight. We must keep our heads up. And we're going to mourn. We're going to be sad. We're going to feel bad. But we're going to share our memories. And we're going to do our best to preserve what's already there, what we already had access to in the past, and to make sure that we are actually building a good, proper future for those who are relying on us. And with that, thank you so much for tuning in. Like, comment, and subscribe. Y'all be good now.